Brian Smolik, portfolio manager for the Hood River Small Cap Growth Fund, returns after quite a long time. And we're going to be talking small cap growth now in the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, about what they look for that informs their buys and sells, what they see happening broadly in the market, and how they put it all together. And my guest today is Brian Smolik, portfolio manager for Hood River Small Cap Growth Fund. That's HRSRX, if you're looking for the ticker symbols. And it's been several years since he's been on the show. But if you want to learn more about him and the firm, hoodrivercapital.com for more information. Brian, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having us. Good to be here. Sorry for the long lapse.
Well, it's okay. We love the fact that you're back. The market is always changing. It's good to tap back into resources that we've looked at in the past. And we always start with methodology. And although small cap growth is in the name, well, that gives us a clue, but it doesn't tell us the specifics. You are looking for specific things when it comes to growth and even small caps. So explain what they are.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things we love about small cap growth, this asset class in particular, is that it's really inefficient. So if you look at a company you know really well, like Apple, for example, it probably has over 50 analysts that cover it. So that stock is really picked over. There are tons of news articles that come out every day. It's overanalyzed, all their products, supply chain, et cetera. Our names are not picked over. There might be only five or six analysts that are covering it. So because of that, there are going to be errors in the forecast by these analysts that are covering it, because they're in small cap, they don't make as much money, they're not as experienced. So we can take advantage of that inefficiency by buying good companies at good valuations that are able to grow at 15% kind of year in, year out, but those forecasts are wrong, and they're wrong in a favorable direction. They're too conservative. So we think they're going to beat those numbers that are out there, and the valuation's appropriate. We can be with the stock for a long time. So we like to find companies that have good management teams in an industry that's growing, where they're stealing share, and we know that they're going to execute on their business plan because we have experience with them. And then you layer that on the street numbers and the valuation. Once that lines up and we think the risk reward is appropriate, it makes its way into the portfolio.
We have seen rotation towards small caps, away from large caps, towards small caps, although that's taken a bit of a breather year to date. But it hasn't taken a breather for you at the fund. The fund is killing it this year and well above the Russell 2000, the small cap index that you'd be measured against. So is there something that's been going on during this rotation where small caps have heated up that has allowed you to keep going so well while others have taken a bit of a setback?
Well, year to date, it's been interesting because if you look at most managers that did well last year and then proceeded to do well this year, that's a pretty small subset. Most of them who did well last year are not doing well this year because they had high growth names that were high multiple or high valuation in sectors like software and biotech that were more speculative in nature. We aren't like that. So we own names in all the different sectors, and some of them are pretty boring, like in financials or industrials or consumer companies that you've probably never heard of that are pretty cheap on a valuation basis. So if you look at what's happened this year, there's been a rotation from growth stocks into value stocks because investors are looking for ways to play the recovery in the economy coming out of the pandemic, and most of those are cyclical in nature. So that plays well into our process because we want to buy companies that are growing, but we want to buy companies that also have that inefficiency with the sell side analysis I was talking about before. So because of that, we've been able to find a lot of companies where the estimates are too low for 2022 and they're at a good valuation. We think we're going to beat those estimates. And now the turnover has been a little bit higher in the portfolio because there have been four or five different markets in the last 15 months, not really one. And we've been able to transition between each of those based on the bottoms-up process that we employ.
So what winds up being the poster child for the methodology? What's a stock, or maybe we could even start with areas of the market first that you particularly like, but you're more driven by the specific stock. So what's a stock that's the poster child for the methodology in these conditions?
Well, so one stock that's made its way in the portfolio, it's actually persisted there for quite some time, is Kinsale. It's an insurance company. It's probably a stock that most of your listeners haven't really heard of before. It's an excess and surplus underwriter. So if you're a small business, you insure a lot of different parts of that business. And there's a part that's not covered under general liability or protection. It might be an extra $10,000 a year. Kinsale is the one that would underwrite it. And what's been neat about that area is companies like AIG and Lloyd's have really retracted from that area. So lots of capital has left the industry. And this is a small startup company. They've gotten to around, you know, $500 million in premium now. And the management team came from one of his competitors, James River, and they rebuilt the business from the ground up using a cloud-based system out of Richmond, Virginia that's cheaper than the competitors. They can get back to a customer quote in less than 24 hours, and they can do it in a more cost-effective manner. So it's going to be a lower price to the end consumer. And they're able to underwrite it in a very profitable way because so much capital has left the industry. Here, the analyst estimates have been chronically way too conservative. If you look out 18 months or so, the street has anywhere from 15 to 20% premium growth, and they've been throwing up 40 to 50% premium growth over the last several years, and I think that's going to persist. They've been able, because of the capital leaving the industry, they've been able to take up pricing now 14, 15% on a year-over-year basis, and then it's a recovery play. With the economy coming back, there's new business submission coming in around 15 to 16%. So we really like the company. We like the fact that the numbers are too conservative, and it's trading around 30 times earnings, which given the growth rate, we think is really attractive.
So that's Kinsale, which is KNSL. What else stands out to you right now?
Another name that we like is Purple Mattress. So we've been in and out of that stock over the last 18 months. We got first involved around $7 at the end of 19. We sold it at the end of last year and we bought it back recently. They have an innovative new mattress that has a polymer in it that doesn't lose its shape over time. And it also doesn't heat up. So a foam mattress, like a Tempur-Pedic, it loses around 4 to 5% of its shape per year. And you get hot in the middle of the night. And there are tons of them. There are tons of different companies that can make it. This is the only company that can make this waffle polymer that has good airflow below it, and it holds its form. So the company is growing really quickly. It's growing around 40% or so. It's trading around 30 times earnings with over 50% gross margins. They're the only ones that can make it, and they have a combination of direct-to-consumer and bricks-and-mortar stores. I think the estimates are too low for this year. Next year, the street only has around 17% revenue growth for next year. And so we like the setup. And it's a great management team that's really come in and turned around the operations of the business, because these mattresses are really hard to make. And they've proven that they can make it in a cost-effective way and get the product to the consumer in a short period of time.
And Purple, if I'm not confusing it with somebody else, they went public like through a SPAC, right?
They did go public through a SPAC, so they actually have to do a little mini restatement around warrants, which if you've been paying attention to the SPAC news lately, is holding up the SPAC market. The SEC wants to count as a liability, so that is how they went public, and the founders are basically kind of on the way out or effectively out at this point, and the new management team's taken over and done a great job.
Now, you talked about how you've been in and out of the company, and we've talked about what you buy and what you like, but what makes you sell? I mean, how often are you selling, and what are the typical factors? Is it just about the one company? Is it those faster horses out there? What are you looking at?
Yeah, that's a great question. So with Purple, it's interesting where the street was chronically underestimating how well they were going to perform for about 5 quarters. So the street would maybe have 15 or 16% growth and come in at 35 or 40, and the stock would react appropriately. It'd go up 10 or 15% that day they were reported, and it worked its way up into the 30s. At the end of the year, when we were looking at the street estimates for the front half of 2021, the street had unfortunately been too aggressive with revenues and margins, because when a mattress sells into a bricks and mortar store like a Mattress Firm, they only get about half the revenues at a lower margin because Mattress Firm has to mark it up instead of DTC, and everyone was going direct to consumer via the internet because the stores weren't open. The stores were reopening this year, so there's going to be a mix shift. So we saw that. We thought the stock was going to pull back once that got recalibrated. It did get recalibrated. The stock pulled back around 25% on earnings, and we used that opportunity to buy the stock back because now the risk that we were concerned about was priced in, and then we thought the company was going to deliver from that point going forward. And then that's what's happened. So they actually just reported the quarter yesterday, and they exceeded estimates and took up guidance, and the stock's up. So it's a combination of risk-reward, where the street estimates are sitting up, how well the company is positioned, and then, like you mentioned, the opportunity cost, what else do we have in the portfolio that could work going forward at that point if it's better than what we have. And then finally, sometimes it can just be valuation. You know, if a stock runs up to the point to where we can't justify it based on the fundamentals, we're going to get out just as a risk control. One of our big winners last year was Plug Power, and it went from trading at 11 times EBITDA to 20 times sales. When it got to that point, we just had to walk away. It's a great company, but we just couldn't justify the price.
Well, now we're going to get your quick and dirty take on some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Quick and dirty.
Goody, a challenge. This is going to be fun.
Well, it certainly is going to be fun as we get quick and dirty with Brian Smolik, portfolio manager for the Hood River Small Cap Growth Fund. It's a 4-star fund from Morningstar, ticker symbol HRSRX. Learn more at hoodrivercapital.com. And we are going to start today with two requests we got from Richard in Chula Vista, California. The first is for 5-9 Incorporated. That's ticker FIVN.
So 5-9 is a great company. They've done well over an extended period of time. It's a contact customer software business. I think it's a hold at this point, given valuation.
The issue here is good company, not the right price for you. Even though you're a growth manager, valuation factors in. So it's really more a GARP kind of play, right?
Exactly. It's 17 times sales. And to me, everything that they're doing is factored in the price at this point, which, as I said, it's a great management team. They've executed for an extended period of time, and they've been rewarded with a great multiple. I just think you can do better elsewhere where there's a bigger inefficiency.
So it's hold it if you've got it, but if you like 5-9, wait for a better price.
I'm just taking my time before making the move.
It's ticker symbol FIVN. Richard in Chula Vista's second request was for Chegg, CHGG.
I like Chegg. They are the leader in online tutoring and course management for college kids. The company has steadily delivered over 30% revenue growth with expanding margins, and they've shown a remarkable ability to add second and third acts. What they've done recently is made it so you can't have password sharing as much, and they've layered in international as well. I think there's probably significant upside to the estimates for this year and next year, and I look forward to them introducing extra products as we roll out through the year. They're good at bundling their services and taking up prices.
So Chegg, when you are trying to learn something,
I wish I could get a lesson in that.
Yeah, if you want to get a lesson in it, well, you might want to look at the stock and get a lesson in buying. CHGG was a buy. Our next two requests come from David in Missoula, Montana. The first is Teladoc Health, TDOC.
I think Teladoc's a sell. They were a big winner in the pandemic by being a leading provider of telemedicine. The stock is still expensive at 8x sales, but now there's been a lot of competition that's coming to the market that's taking away their edge. And I think you'd rather be in a stock that's benefiting from us leaving the pandemic instead of going into it.
Warning, warning, warning.
It's a sell on Teladoc Health, TDOC. That was a sell, again, looking at a stock that has done really well. It's maybe profit-taking or what have you, but can't stay there if you're looking for that what's next. And then David's other request, 2U Incorporated, ticker TWOU.
I'm not a fan of 2U. They provide online course content for universities. There's a lot of pricing pressure in that business, and they've started out at a price that's well north of where competition is coming in, and they're having a hard time adapting. You're seeing a slowing in the overall growth rate. They aren't really very profitable. I just think the business model is going to continue to be under pressure.
So in other words, if you like the educational space, et cetera, Chegg, which you had as a buy, was the obvious pick. And 2U, if you have it, well, maybe you should be thinking about Chegg, because 2U Incorporated, TWOU, that was a sell.
Whoa, dumber than advertised.
And last, for Mike in Carlsbad, California, TPI Composites, ticker TPIC.
TPIC is a sell. They make wind blades for large wind blade manufacturers. It sounds like it's a high growth, interesting business. Unfortunately, it's an extremely low margin, competitive business where the customers have all the power and the management team has very limited visibility and they chronically miss estimates. So I would stay away and go with the business a little bit more predictable and better run.
So unfortunately, well, we finish with a sour note on TPIC.
Oh, it just gets worse and worse.
Yeah, we finish with that. We finish with several sells. But the worst news is that after several sells, we actually have to say goodbye to Brian Smolik. But Brian, this was great. Please don't wait 4 years to come back. We'll talk to you again, I hope, down the line, a few months or a year or whatever. Great to chat with you. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks, Chuck. Good to be here.
Brian Smolik is portfolio manager at Hood River Small Cap Growth, HRSRX, the ticker symbol HoodRiverCapital.com, for more information. We'll come back and let you know what's coming tomorrow and beyond and tell you where Brian agreed or disagreed with some others before we cross the finish line.